Following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam given by His Divine Grace Satsvarupa Das Goswami Gurupad in Boston on July 20, 1984.
Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvapayana Vyasa, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Purport. The great sage Krishna Dvapayana Vyasa is the author of all Vedic literature, of which his works Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata are very popular readings. As stated in Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata for the less intelligent class of men who take more interest in mundane topics than in the philosophy of life. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled for persons already above the mundane topics who might already have tasted the bitterness of the so-called happiness of mundane affairs. The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That is, only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries regarding Brahman, the transcendence. Those persons who are busy with the mundane inquiries which fill the newspapers and other such literatures are classified as Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhus. For women, the laborer class and the unworthy sons of the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. Such less intelligent men cannot understand the purpose of Vedanta Sutra, although they may make a show of studying the sutras in a perverted way. The real purpose of Vedanta Sutra is explained by the author himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyone trying to understand Vedanta Sutra without reference to Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly misguided. Such misguided persons who are interested in the mundane affairs of philanthropic and altruistic work under the misconception of the body as the self could take better advantage of the Mahabharata, which was specifically compiled by Srila Vyasadeva for their benefit. The great author has compiled the Mahabharata in such a way that the less intelligent class of men who are more interested in mundane topics may read the Mahabharata with great relish, and in the course of such mundane happiness can also take advantage of Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Vyasadeva had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities other than to give less intelligent persons a chance for transcendental realization through Bhagavad Gita. Vidura's reference to the Mahabharata indicates that he had heard of the Mahabharata from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from home and was touring the places of pilgrimage. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sinyavani Pachita Deva. So the Vedic literatures are absolute, and yet among them there are different qualities and there are different purposes. And that is being stated here particularly regarding Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata, and within Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, we're told about how Vyasadeva compiled all the literatures, starting with one Veda, Yajur Veda. Then he began to divide them into four, Yajur, Atharva, Sama, Rig. And then he appointed professors or acharyas in charge of them. And then these were passed down. And then the fifth Veda was put in charge of Ramaharshan, father of Sutta, and that included the Puranas and the Mahabharata in Upanishads. So there's another reference to that, at least in the Chandogya Upanishad, and Jiva Goswami comments on that too, that these other literatures, Puranas, etc., and Vedanta Sutra, they're considered fifth Veda. So some class of persons try to say that we're only interested in the Vedas, they are the authorized literatures. And these other literatures are not authentic. But that is not a fact from the Vedic literature itself. But rather, as we study it, we understand that although the Veda was first, it is actually not as applicable today as the Purana, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. This is stated by no less an authority than Sri Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, when he just tells us not to be very interested in Vedavatarata, in artificially trying to follow the Vedas. Because what are the Vedas anyway? Mostly composed of different mantras and hymns as processes of worshipping demigods for getting material benefits. So how can that be the highest? Yeah. It's not the highest pursuit of human life, or it's not hardly spiritual life, although we can call it religious. So that has to lead to something further. And that comes, Prabhupada says, if one is maybe has tasted the bitterness of trying to be happy, even if the demigods award you things, even if you go to the higher planets and you come down again, or you get your heart higher materially, if you experience that that doesn't really make you satisfied, then you may wonder, well, what is beyond this? And all these happinesses are based on the idea of the self as the body. So we think, well, is this all I am? So any thoughtful person may come to this point out of his dissatisfaction. Then he wants to know what is beyond. And then he can inquire into the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra, where we are informed, Aham Brahmasmi, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. But here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if one is not at that point, that he's ready to go beyond, atato brahma jnanasa, now you've finished just being interested in the marketplace inquiries, filling up the newspapers. Now in the political presidential election year, so much energy and media reproduction is made of every little thing, of every candidate. So people get very, very absorbed in this, more and more with intensity. And then you have your heroes in the music world, and there's so much energy about them and their concerts, and on and on and on. The business world, every world is ready to spew forth so much information, data exchange, and there are very eager people to receive these things. But atato brahma jnanasa, have you finished with this? Do you realize that you cannot be happy in this world of illusion, which ends in death? Would you like to understand where it has all come from, and what is the final truth beyond all these things? Then you can inquire into Vedanta. But it assumes a very advanced position, that one is actually ready to not be interested anymore in these things, which are so compelling. In Kali Yuga especially, Maya is extra compelling, and we have very little strength for austerity and very little interest for spiritual topics. So atato brahma jnanasa, to be interested in philosophy per se, takes an advanced person in goodness. Therefore, knowing that many people would not be ready for hearing the philosophy of Vedanta, but that they should be saved, people like Sri, Shudra, Dvijabandhu, in and out, Vyasa compiled a special literature for them, Mahabharata. Earlier we read in these inquiries, I think it is Vidura, he plainly says that I've heard enough of these topics, Mahabharata. This is very repetitious about the social situation, in Varnashram Dharma and all these different rituals. I've heard enough of this again and again. I want to hear higher topics, Krishna Katha. And of course, just like the dialogues of Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, the impetus was, go higher, do you know something higher? Until they got to Krishna Katha, and then higher and higher. But there will be some people who don't want to go higher. They want to know what's going on in this world. So, for them, this Mahabharata is apparently filled with all kinds of historical information, and it is filled with a drama which is full of romance and full of fighting, military fighting, and full of political intrigue. As much as in any novel or movie or newspaper. So, and these are all historical facts. Mahabharata means the history of Greater India. But it is a method of preaching by Vyasadeva that he will get these people interested to study this wonderful epic of the five brothers, Pandavas, with Lord Krishna, versus the forces of evil. And by reading them, they will understand the absolute truth. It is another way of presenting the same conclusion. And within that Mahabharata is a gem of Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, which is a primary Krishna Katha spoken directly by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is the setup. So, this is the origin and the history and the position of these different literatures. But today, we're long, long after that. And if you ask any devotee in Krishna consciousness, what do we study? He'll say, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the Mahabharata is not given so much importance, but Bhagavad Gita was in that. We will also get Mahabharata in due course. Some already have been reading different Mahabharatas. And our godbrother, Hridayananda Goswami Acharyadeva, is scheduled to write that. And I was asking him about that, and he said now he's planning to do it after he finishes a few other things, in the form of a dramatic story, as it is sometimes rendered. But he wants to render it a very interesting story, and he'll call it the Pandavas. So to try to make the whole world become interested to hear about this wonderful story of these five brothers. But nevertheless, we stress topmost Srimad Bhagavatam. We could ask that if the Mahabharata is for less intelligent people, why don't we study that? And why are we able to study this topmost literature? Well, because the Srimad Bhagavatam, although it is topmost, it offers its nectar not only to the topmost person, but to all persons. It has that special feature. It was written by Srila Vyasadeva after he felt himself not satisfied. This was a kind of a very clever thing, to write the Mahabharata to get the Dvija Bandhu interested and then give him the Bhagavad Gita. But somehow, as brilliant as it was, it didn't satisfy him so much. And the reason was, Krishna wasn't so much the center. All right, Bhagavad Gita was there, Krishna's the center of that. But the whole long, long, long Mahabharata, Krishna's not centered enough. So he wasn't satisfied. And Narada pointed that out. So then he compiled the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is centered. Vasudeva. And from the very first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the son of Vasudeva Krishna, is the absolute truth. And he is to be appreciated by the topmost Paramahamsas. But later in the Bhagavatam, it's stated, Nibhatatara se rupagi yamana pabhushajak chotam anobi ramat ka uttama shloka gunana vardat viram virajeka vina pashu. That the topmost person will be interested, he who's already liberated, but one who is aspiring to spiritual life, he doesn't have to read Mahabharata now that this Srimad Bhagavatam has been given. It's also for everyone, because the pastimes of Krishna and of Krishna's devotees, like Prahlad and others, they are very interesting, but especially the Krishna Katha is very interesting for everyone. He who's aspiring for spiritual life, and even an ordinary karmi, like he who was told to read Mahabharata, he can also read it because it's so charming. This is the most wonderful story. Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and the cowherd, friends, Krishna and the demons. And then Krishna in Mathura, Krishna in Dwarka, everything is there. So, this literature is all that is necessary, actually. And that is why Mahabharata is supplementary, but actually if one just reads Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is complete. We should never think that Srila Prabhupada made some arbitrary selection out of the Vedas, but guided by the Sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya and his spiritual master, he knew that these are the main literatures. And then the other literatures, like Nectar Devotion and all those, they're based on, they are Krishna Katha, they're based on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the life of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, and that is filled with verses of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the goal is to worship Radha Krishna. So the selection of literatures to be translated by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, first into English, now into so many languages all over the world, these literatures of Prabhupada, because they're Prabhupada's purports, but they're also his purports to these particular texts. That is what he chose. So, although Srila Prabhupada left at a time when we did not want him to leave, and when would there ever be a time that we would say, all right, it's all right, you can leave, we're all right now. Nevertheless, his works were given to the world. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Book, 10th Canto, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You don't need anything else for going back to Godhead and going back to Godhead by being absorbed in transcendental literature. If you want to read very avidly, still you may finish all these books, but you can read them again. What is, no one has understood these books. The Srimad Bhagavatam, nobody can really understand it. It is so deep. We can understand what it's about, what is the siddhanta, or the purport. But the meaning, how deep it goes, each pastime, no one has ever really finished understanding it. So, in that way, for realization, for further realization, you can relish it again and again. That is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Now, this is our good fortune. But another thing we should can appreciate is that it is very serious and not so easy to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Not easy in the way it's easy to take in material information. It requires a whole life's dedication. If formerly persons who are not so intelligent could study the Mahabharata and in the Bhagavad Gita. And it was understood that they had more qualifications, more time to study. Society was less disturbed. So if you calculate our position, we're most unfortunate in Kali Yuga. But we've been given this mercy of the chanting of Hare Krishna, very easy, and reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada, especially in his purports, has made it very accessible. But still, because we're very lowly in spiritual ability, that becomes difficult. And not so difficult, but if it's too difficult, then we're doomed. If this you can't do, chant Hare Krishna, instead of having to get involved in so many mantras from the Vedas, or having to do your religious activities through a Brahmin, you yourself can chant Hare Krishna mantra directly. And you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And you yourself can become Brahmin. Actually, no one is supposed to study Vedic literature unless he's a Brahmin. How can he understand Brahman unless he's a Brahmin? You can't understand Brahman or eternal transcendence if you're a Shudra. If you're all polluted in your activities and thoughts, how are you going to understand the Supreme Pure? So you have to become Brahmana, but that doesn't mean by birth. So this is these are the opportunities. One can become Brahmana. It's easy by the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya, even in one lifetime, through the mercy of the pure devotee. But these, so I'm saying it's easy and I'm saying it's difficult, but it is not a contradiction. The process for we fallen souls is certainly easy compared to other practices. And it's not that difficult for us if we try. But if this easy available process we can't do, then you can be sure that we are completely doomed. Harinama, 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 iti kavalam. Kalona stivana, stivana, stivagatiranita. There's no other possibility of attaining spiritual life in this age except by taking this mercy. So we should appreciate like that I'm certainly a product of this Kali Yuga. I'm eternal soul, but now I'm in this situation. I was not intelligent enough somehow or other to go back to Godhead. Now I'm in this very bad age, in a threatening condition, in a material form of life, but it's a human form of life, so got this fortune, let me not throw it away. And this is the life or death test or challenge that each of us individually is faced with. Whether to take chanting Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the life of Krishna consciousness, or in any way, if we get dragged away by sense gratification from these four principles of life, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, then we won't be able to become successful. Because you can't. You have to be Brahmin to understand the Vedas. So you cannot think that you can go on reading in some kind of way, as Prabhupada said, like a bookworm. But there's a quality in reading, like Rupa Goswami has cited. They knew how to read Vedic literatures. So you have to be able to actually read them in a spiritual way. And that means with rapt attention, and nobody can have rapt attention unless he can have a pure mind and pure sensory activity. But if we try deliberately, or claiming that it's cannot help ourselves, to at the same time break the four principles and still do these things, then it becomes actually offensive, our attempt to follow or to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because follow means that you have to be actually pure, and you have to have a devotional service connection with the spiritual master. Right? The message is heard in parampara. Otherwise, it must be parampara, and it must be obedient. Parampara means obedience to the guru. Then, we can become as fortunate as even one of these great sages, like Maitreya Vidura. demigods, big sages. We read in different places, like the passing away of Bhishma or the gathering at the Jamuna for Pariksha to hear. We get little biographical sketches of these great sages like Bharadvaj, Chaivan, Bhrigu Muni, so many big sages, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, and they were all great mystics. They all studied Vedanta Sutra. Sometimes they personally recited these literatures by heart, and they performed many yajnas, and they were great mystics. But a lot of those activities are really not to the point as much as whether one is a pure devotee of Krishna, like the residents of Vrindavan and others. So any person, even if he's not a great sage, celebrated sage, like in past days, but has very limited time and very limited capacity, if they can get under the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna's devotee, they can be as even better situated than powerful sages. This is the mercy. But what is that shelter? The shelter is to be obedient, and even in this context of craziness in late 20th century in these western cities, you can be like the lily in the water, not be touched by the madness, by always having this Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita hearing, and always chanting Hare Krishna mantra and doing the bona fide service. This is our program for going back to Godhead and helping everyone else to do the same. So are there some questions raised by this? I'll read the verse. Your friend, the great Krishna Dvapayana Vyasa, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Yes. Right.
Yes, he's a materialist, like a lawyer. He studies so many books, he knows the law books. And there seems that there would be some contradiction that he's very attentive to understanding all the different cases.
Yeah. Well, but we were saying attentive to Srimad Bhagavatam. He couldn't be attentive to Srimad Bhagavatam. If he had to hear, what is this? Couldn't pay attention. Because, yes, he has rapt attention. He's thinking, I want to be the best student in the law class, and I want to be then the best lawyer as possible, make as much money as possible, and be very famous for my law practice. Or maybe they're thinking, Prabhupada says, like altruism, I want to defend the downtrodden. Very few lawyers may think like that. So they have such concentration, but that's not a contradiction. That they can be concentrated like that. Vyasadeva says the literature, mundane literature, is like a pilgrimage for the crows or like the prostitute hunter. For the prostitute hunter, he's also got rapt attention. Where's the prostitute? And the crows, where's the garbage? So we don't say that there aren't varieties of concentration. But if you ask this person, the prostitute hunter or the crow, may you please use your good attention. We're going to discuss this. No, this is what is this? Dry material. They want either some sense gratification from it or some money making. Then they'll be attentive. Someone can tell them how to increase those things. But therefore, the devotee, if he has a lot of these things on his mind, then he'll only be a so-called devotee. When he tries to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he'll also be thinking, where's the garbage? He won't be able to pay attention. Is there something most valuable and attractive here? So there are different kinds of rapt attention, certainly. But unless you follow this sadhana, you can't have rapt attention for Krishna. And that increases and increases. That even in the Vedic literatures, they don't even want to hear the Vedic literatures unless they have directly to do with Krishna. And even, it's like the gopis, they're so Krishna conscious that they don't want any substitute for just Krishna himself and his two-armed form as Govinda, or thinking about him. And even when Krishna sent his very close associate, Uddhava, Uddhava was going to lecture to them that I'll explain to you philosophically about why Krishna couldn't come. And at least at first they said, we don't want to hear that as dry explanation. Bring Krishna. If you have something to say, bring Krishna. We don't want to hear what you have to say. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Krishna, actually. But the intensity of attention for Krishna can be increased and increased by our sadhana, by our sincerity. Then Krishna in the heart, listen, like some of the Vaishnavas, they sing, when will the day come when I will have a taste for these literatures? The six Goswamis have left us so many wonderful literatures. Narottam particularly sings, I don't care. I won't spare half a second to hear the literatures left by these great souls. How condemned I am. So this therefore is part of the great longing to be Krishna conscious, is to have a taste for hearing these things, to be able to have rapt attention. But in Kali Yuga, manda samanda matayo, manda bhagya upaditra, we are all very disturbed, and we can't hear. We have a strong affinity for the mundane. But this austerity will influence, and regular hearing will enable us to be more and more inclined.